This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I'm doing all right. Hey, you know what? It's award season, so I'm excited. Are you excited for award season?
No, I'm not up for any awards this year.
Tom, that let's I'm be aware honest. Of. You never have been and you never will be.
Tim, I played on some grade school soccer teams that won best sportsman 2 years in a row.
The team won best sportsman?
Yes, because we lost all the time and were very gracious about it.
But were you gracious? No. I don't imagine you, especially like an 8-year-old, you being very gracious about anything.
No, I distinctly remember we got it 2 years in a row. And at that point, we figured out, or I don't know if we figured it out, but we took it to be very condescending. And the next year, we played very rough. A lot of yellow and red cards. Because we didn't want that stupid trophy anymore.
Right.
So then we just went home with no trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I should mention, Tom, before we go too far, it's NFT week here at The Complete Guide to Everything.
Yeah, non-fungible tokens.
But we'll get to that in a minute.
Tim, this is the kind of episode where people are tuning in to hear about NFTs, and they're already writing a bad review on iTunes because... I'm talking about sportsman trophies, but we're going to get to
it. And I want to talk about the movies.
Yeah, but by the end of this episode, you'll be a millionaire.
We guarantee
with NFTs.
It. Hey, if you're not a millionaire by the end of this episode, I'll eat my hat.
We bet. Yeah, we'll be talking about NFTs because I legitimately gave myself a headache learning about them today.
And I didn't learn anything about them, so I can maintain the voice of
the everyman.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a polite way of putting it.
The unintelligent moron.
Can I ask you something, Tom? I have a proposal about the movies.
Okay.
Have you seen this film? I don't know how to say it. Minari or
no?
Minari
with Steven Yeun.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it.
Too busy watching the Billie Eilish documentary?
Yeah, I told you that in confidence, but I'll say it out loud. I watched it and I enjoyed it, Tim. And if that makes me young and hip, then guilty as charged, I guess.
So young, so hip. Mm-hmm. I watch art house cinema, Tom. Uh-huh. I like the films of A24. I prefer them to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, Tim, this was an Apple original movie, and they make iPods.
They make a lot more than iPods, Tom. You'll be surprised. Look it up.
Different kinds of connectors. They have a connector you can plug into your car. But Apple doesn't make those, Tim. Those are third-party manufacturers. It's a common mistake.
Yeah, but they make the iPod video. Mm-hmm. They make the iPod shuffle. They make the iPod mini, a mini version of the iPod.
Yeah, you thought it couldn't be done, but it was.
Yeah, what did...
Tim, when loyal listeners of this show will know that I worked at the Apple store years and years ago. And one of the stories I have about the iPod mini is that one day Daryl Hannah came in looking for a pink iPod mini, which we did not have. They were impossible to find. And she told the employee, "You have them in the back for people like me."
People like Daryl Hannah.
Yeah.
Cinema's Splash.
She was saying this to like a 19-year-old who was like, we have them for old blonde ladies in the back? I don't think so, but I'll check if you want me to.
Man, you know, like, look, I'm no big Daryl Hannah fan, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Although she is, she's Neil Young's girlfriend these days.
Yeah. Well, you refused to watch Splash until it came out on Disney Plus and they put hair on her butt so you wouldn't see it.
Is that the only thing you know about Daryl Hannah?
No, I knew she was Neil Young's about girlfriend, too.
The internet outrage that you can't see her butt on Disney Plus. Did you sign a petition or two about that, Tom?
No, but I might have rushed out to buy a Laserdisc.
I just think it's imagining Daryl Hannah going to the mall.
Hey.
Wild.
Maybe Neil Young was out in the car waiting for her. Oh, will you be quick or should I park my car?
That's how he talks.
That's how he talks. He talks kind of how he sings, but not exactly.
Just atonally.
Yep.
The way that he sings for that. So I watched this film, Minari. Mm-hmm. Minari. They pronounce it different ways. I think the way that, like, yeah, I don't know. Look, I'm probably saying it wrong. Whatever.
Yeah.
There's a kid in the movie. There's a couple kids in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really good at acting.
Okay.
Also this, like, the little boy is, like, maybe one of the main characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole family. Yeah, they're all main characters, but, like, they focus on him a lot.
This bear come and back to non-fungible tokens, Tim.
Now he's having a moment.
Uh-huh.
And I'm conflicted about it because everybody's like, ah, this kid's cute. He's like 8 years old and, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's younger in the movie. You know how time works. So they
right,
filmed it
yeah.
in the past.
And they use that Marvel de-aging technology to make him look younger. Uh-huh.
No, I think it was just that. I think, and like, I don't know. They probably filmed it when he was six. And
yeah.
the difference between a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old
yeah.
is, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm dying to see. Sorry to interrupt, but, this movie, Chaos Walking, that came out, comes out this Friday. It's got Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley in it.
You know, you are a fan and aware of the junkiest movies.
Well,
this is something that was filmed in 2016 and shelved.
Yeah, but apparently part of the thing that made it ridiculous is that, like, after it got shot and they were like, all right, we got to do reshoots, they had to wait because both of their careers blew up. But then, like, also by the time they came and did reshoots, both of them started working out a lot for their roles as action heroes. And it was
right.
like, wait a minute, you two don't look like teenagers anymore. So apparently from, like, shot to shot, it's like, that person looks like they could be 15. That person's 30.
And you want to see this film?
Yeah. Apparently it's actually not that bad, which is disappointing because I like watching train wrecks.
I mean, you like every movie that you see. I don't think I've ever heard you.
Well, sorry, I'm a cinema buff, Tim.
You're not. You don't see the art house fare like I see, like Minari.
Yeah,
Minari.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I saw it, I'd know what it was called at least.
Probably. So anyway, this is the kid. He did that interview that kind of went viral when they asked him who his favorite actor was, and he said, "I like Sonic the Hedgehog."
I didn't see that. That's a pretty good answer, though.
Yeah, he's a funny kid. But then I'm just like, I know how, like, look, I know how the realities of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood's a bad place, and
yeah.
like. Child actors have it bad there. I now I feel conflicted every time I see a film that has a child in it,
because
mm-hmm. it's just like this is like this kid. The odds that you know it's maybe 50-50 that they turn out all right
yeah.
in adulthood, right?
So you pray that his career takes a dive and his parents have to go get real jobs.
Well, that's the thing. I think they should pass a law And I think this would solve a lot of problems. Child actors, you're under, maybe not 18. Well, say 18.
I have a feeling this law is going to be something the government doesn't have the power to
No, enact. You can regulate child labor. You get one movie. Hey, stage parents. Uh-huh. Like, your kid doesn't get to have a career when they can't make decisions for themselves. You put them in one movie. They get cast in one movie. Great. You cashed it. You cashed in your kid. That's your ticket. That kid goes back to school and hangs out with the regular kids.
What about like TV shows and stuff?
I don't know. 8 episodes. A third of a season.
Well, how is it?
Would you really care if they recast the little kid on Modern Family every 8 episodes? Would you notice?
No, I guess not.
Telling you. And then that would prevent all these people staying at the Oakwoods for freaking months on end during pilot season, trying to get their kids, you know, into all these things. Like, nope, they'll need a new kid all the time.
Yeah.
But you just get one shot, and you have to choose your scripts, right? You have to be very savvy.
Right. Be like, well, Jaleel White's all used up now. We have to get a new kid to play Steve Urkel.
They could make an exception.
They could make
if a talent like Jaleel White comes and marries the perfect role of a Steve Urkel. I think that there should be an exception where like it's like, all right, you'll get a waiver. This can be your
see,
right.
But again, Tim,
also turned out all right. He turned out well.
I don't think
a good man.
I don't think that's something the government has the power to say that. Well. Come on, it's Urkel. This kid, we can work to the bone.
I feel like if enough people petition the government for that, they could be like, all right, he's allowed to be Urkel. And like, because also it's like, well, who is versatile enough to be Steve Urkel, Stefana Urkel, Urkelbot, Mildred?
He only did the voice of Urkelbot.
I think he was in that suit.
No, and no, Tim, come on. You think they were using split screen instead of just putting somebody else in the suit?
What was the girl Urkel's name? Like Petunia or Mildred?
Yeah,
or something
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's versatile. I think if a once in a generation talent like Jaleel White comes along, they'd make an exception.
So basically what you're proposing is that they take the power of how much is too much work for a child out of the parent's hand and put it into the general public's hand.
No. That's a very rare case. You get one of those every, like one kid every decade is allowed to work.
Well, what about every
more than one movie?
Every 4 years during presidential elections, there you also have to vote on which kid would you like to be worked to the bone.
I don't think there's enough child actors that are good enough.
Well, then some kids will run unopposed.
Nah, I think they get to run for it. There's one person that can work as much as they want.
Yeah, yeah, and the public decides.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, or they could, if it's every 10 years, they could do it when they take the census. A census taker could also ask, are there any child actors working right now that you would like to see in more films?
Yeah.
And keep in
honestly,
mind,
I think most people won't know because it's like, I don't know. I've seen this guy in one 2-hour movie and then he's not allowed to be in anything else.
Well, and then the people that have like a lot of thoughts about this, then the government knows who to keep track of, who to, you know, keep an eye on.
Oh, yeah. If someone is like, here's my top 5 child actors that I'd like to see more of.
Yeah, then the census taker just has like a little button they can press or something, and the
SWAT
van comes around.
Up.
Yeah. Well, Tim, it's a horrible idea. I don't know. You should just watch movies and be fine. And
I mean, the part that you think is horrible is the part that you came up with. My idea is limiting.
Well, I came up with it, Tim, to illustrate to you how horrible of an idea it is.
He knew that if you introduced Urkel into the
yeah,
equation,
all of a sudden
here,
your
get
math would get
all
thrown off. Well, I don't know. Even though you're not even thinking, Tim, Oracle's best work is behind him. You're fine. You know what? They enact that rule now. You can sit back and laugh because we still got all those hours of joy out of Oracle.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah. Oracle was a once in a lifetime. Oracle was a movement, and it's not going to be replicated. And sorry, tough shit, future generations. One movie or eight TV episodes. That's all you get.
All right, Tim. Non-fungible tokens, NFTs.
Yeah, get that fungible nonsense out of here.
Well, Tim, you used to be all about fungible tokens, and look what happened. All those fungible tokens are worthless now.
I was all about Dave and Buster's tokens, because you could play the video games and win tickets.
Those are actually fungible tokens. Do you know what fungible means?
I always thought it meant like malleable or like, I guess, I don't know. Tell me.
It means kind of, I mean, I didn't look up the definition or anything, but it means kind of like non-fungible, or fungible means replaceable. So like if you had a dollar bill and I took that dollar bill from you, ripped it into pieces and threw it into the wind, and you went, hey, come on, man. I could just go, sorry about that, hand you another dollar, and you'd be like, well, all's forgiven, even Stevens.
Right.
But if you had, you know, like a priceless Babe Ruth baseball card, and I ripped that into pieces, I can't replace that. I could give you another baseball card, but it's not going to be the same one. It's not going to be... even if it's worth the same, it's not necessarily going to be worth the same 20 years from now or whatever.
Right.
So that's what non-fungible means. Basically something that can't be replicated or copied. There's one. That's what makes it non-fungible.
I'm learning so much already, Tom. So unique.
Yes. Yes. Basically a long way of saying unique.
Yeah, but there's nuance to it.
Yeah.
We had a teacher in school who one time said, was trying to explain how he was smarter than another teacher because he used the word sophomoric.
Uh-huh.
And the other teacher said, oh, what does that mean? He's like, you don't know what that means? And then they were like, no. And he's like, well, it kind of means immature, but not really. There's like a distinction that I guess you have to know what the word sophomoric really connotes to understand. Mm-hmm. It was really, it made me think like, oh, some teachers are bigger jerks than other teachers. but I feel like that's the difference between non-fungible and unique. I bet if you said there were synonyms, some crypto guy would be like, no, not quite. It doesn't quite mean unique. Otherwise, why would the word exist?
And the last thing I need, Tim, is some crypt keeper coming in here doing anything, honestly.
Spooky as hell, man.
Yeah.
Jump out of my skin and run away.
So maybe I should back up a little bit with my explanation here. Because... what most NFT is right now, or the NFT that is blowing up, are pieces.
Is it NFT or NFTs?
NFTs, because they are the tokens.
Okay.
The stuff that's kind of blowing up right now is art. So images, videos, even music now are the big. Things. And before this, it was the idea was that this would be a way to kind of like sell items in games and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, and this all exists on the blockchain. So it's all cryptocurrency.
Oh, the blockchain's back now.
The blockchain.
We had a couple of years where people stopped talking about the blockchain constantly, but it's back, baby.
Yeah. The blockchain never went away. Now, do you understand what a blockchain is, Tim?
No, of course not. And don't act like you do.
I kind
of. Like, every explanation of it is just like, oh, it's a thing, and it makes everything secure. So, and there's no way around it.
Yeah, you got it. That's actually a pretty good definition, Tim. It's a thing that makes everything secure, and there's no way around it. Essentially, it's a kind of like a distributed spreadsheet where, like, everybody that wants a copy of this spreadsheet's got a copy of this spreadsheet, right?
Can I get a copy of the spreadsheet?
Yeah, you can get a copy of it.
For free?
For free.
Wow, all right.
And if you want to, if I want to, say, send you money on the blockchain,
mm-hmm.
I essentially have to go, all right, I from this address want to send money to this address, and I want to send this much money, and I authenticate that I'm me.
How?
Because I have a key, a private key, that is the only key that will work for this transaction.
But where does that come from?
It's just generated by your computer.
Okay.
It's like randomly generated.
But like, how is something authorized to generate that key?
So I'm trying to think if blockchain is kind of like this, but I'm just thinking about like encryption in general. Is you have a public key and a private key. So you can put up your public key and, you know, let's say your public key is it just says X or whatever. Or let's say it says 5. Let's make it very easy. It says 5. Now, this is going to get away from me.
It already has.
I'm going to take your number that you give me, your public number. I'm going to do like a math equation with it and send it to you. And
like add 2 to it. So now it's 7.
Yeah. But you're not going to know what I added to it. Obviously, if it was 7, you'd be able to figure it out pretty quickly. But
well, I mean, even if it's like 1,000, if it comes back to be 1,005, guess what, Tom?
Well, they're much more complicated than that. But your private key, which you can't show anyone, you can't give anyone, that's your secret, that essentially has the answer and can decrypt that thing that I sent you. And nobody else, because I encrypted it using your public key, it's encrypted in such a way now that you're the only one on Earth who can decrypt it.
Okay. And so you're putting the public key, like, so everybody's got access to this spreadsheet. You want to send me money.
Yeah.
This is how you know it's fiction, because you would never in a million years would send me money.
Well, maybe I was in like a tight spot or something. I needed to hide some money. So I'm sending
it
to you.
The way I've always heard it is like a public ledger that everybody can see the transactions, but they don't, you know, the identities and everything are protected, right?
Right, because everything's just numbers. And essentially, when I go to send you money, there's everybody else on the blockchain is going to verify that I have the money to send you. So the
how and why?
Because they have the entire ledger. So they're like, well, let's go through the ledger. Let's see what it
Who's
says.
Who's maintaining this stuff, though?
Everybody. The computers are.
Okay.
That's the thing. Everybody's got a copy of it.
But why do people care enough?
What do you mean?
Why do they care if you have enough money to give me that money?
Because if they didn't, then none of this would work.
I know, but some people want to make stuff not work.
Right. Well,
we get a bunch of jokers in there, Tom.
Well,
they just want to watch the world burn.
That's what the blockchain prevents, Tim, because you wouldn't be able, you would have to get more than half of the people to lie and basically say, yeah, Tim's got $5 million. If you say you've got $5 million and, you know, you alter your version of the blockchain, well, everybody else's version isn't going to match up with yours and they're just going to ignore yours because it's, they can't verify it.
What if I say, look, I got $10 billion. Hey, 51% of the people with this spreadsheet, verify this and you'll each get $1 million.
I mean, you could, and there have been concerns in the past with some cryptocurrencies where...
Tom, I just broke blockchain in 30
well,
seconds,
listen,
and people have been talking about this for years. I can't believe...
This
is why you got to run things by me first, everybody.
The reason why you can't do that is you would have to already own half the currency on that blockchain.
Hmm.
So that is a problem with, like, new cryptocurrencies and stuff, like especially a few years ago when this was like real buzzy and there was a new cryptocurrency every 2 minutes. The problem with a lot of those was some company was like, oh, we're going to have our ICO, initial coin offering. Everybody can get in on this. And what some of these people would not say is like, oh, yeah, we're going to sell coins for the first time. We're going to keep 80% of the coins, though. So that at the end of the day, we control all of this. We have 80% of the computers. If we say all of a sudden we've got $5 billion, well, guess what? 80% of the blockchain, 80% of the nodes out there can verify this.
See, this is why I don't trust anybody that starts anything up in the 21st century.
Well, but now with... you know, at least the bigger cryptocurrencies, that can't happen, or at least can't happen easily, or you know, it would take like an insane amount of effort to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, that cryptocurrency would become devalued because people would be able to see that that's what's happening, that that's what's going on.
Great. So what you're telling me is that NFTs are unique things that are verified that they're unique by the blockchain.
Yeah, so this is using the blockchain in a slightly different way where instead of verifying how much Bitcoin or Ethereum you have, it's verifying a digital object, and they're saying this digital object with this address, Tim owns this. Nobody else owns this. And look, you can go out to all the other nodes. It's in this ledger all over the place. He's the guy that owns it. We can see that he bought it from this other address. So that's verifiable. So actually, even if NFT art, like digital art, you know, is a fad and goes away, I think there's definitely a future for this as a way of certifying authenticity for other items. Sorry, my dog is going nuts. Hold on.
Hey, stop.
Sorry about that, Tim. She's a big crypto naysayer.
So even if the art doesn't take out, you want to start there.
Yeah. So even if NFT art doesn't take off, I think people this is going to become a thing as a way to certify physical items as kind of like a certificate of authenticity for physical art.
I got a certificate of authenticity already.
For what?
For the autographs and stuff.
But what if somebody fakes the certificate of authenticity?
Well, then, you know what? At that point, good work, right? We're all fooled.
So you'd be willing to spend $5 million on a piece of art, and it's like, well, if they fake the certificate of authenticity, I got to hand it to them. I didn't think about that.
If they're able to fool me with the piece of art itself.
Uh-huh.
And the certificate. You fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Right? So if I can't if I'm not seeing, like if I'm buying this piece of art,
mm-hmm.
and it's a fraud, it's
yeah.
fake,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still buying it hook, line, and sinker, And then somebody, or I'm like, I don't know, I'm skeptical. Uh-huh. Actually, it looks pretty good. And then somebody hands me another thing, and I fail to verify that that is also fake.
Uh-huh.
That's on me. Like, yeah, buyer beware.
Well, a lot of, you know, especially for like more, actually for even like non-expensive items, like, you know, a comic book that's $50 or whatever that's verified.
The Death of Superman.
It's not a $50 comic. They can still be, I guess in that case, the certificate of authenticity is a third party that's verifying it in that case. So that certificate is going to have like a serial number on it, and you're going to be able to go to that company and say, hey, I got this serial number. Is this real for this, you know, comic that I'm buying, this expensive comic? And they'll be able to look it up and be like, oh yeah, that matches. And like, oh yeah, that guy's verified as the guy who owns that. So like, yeah, that's legit. But how do you know that that guy hasn't passed them money under the table to say that? And he's just printing copies left and right.
Right.
You don't. But with the blockchain, you will, because if somebody's looking to sell to you, you can just look it up on the ledger and it's like, oh no, you don't know, this other address that you don't control owns that. You don't own that. You can't give that to me.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
I've heard a lot about NFTs in the past week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And like some very, I don't know, people that don't have, the people with very short attention spans or don't seem very inquisitive at all.
What are you trying to imply, Tim?
No, I'm not trying to imply anything about you. What I'm saying is this all sounds very boring. Why is everybody into it right now?
Because
what's the angle?
There's money to be made, baby. And we'll tell you how after the break. This episode of The Complete Guide to Everything is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tim, you ever have something you really need to get off your chest?
Constantly, Tom.
Constantly? You're just walking around, you want to tell people you hate them or you love them or you know where the treasure is buried.
Interesting, you went negative first, but yeah, no, there's a lot of things.
Love, second. And then the treasure, that's also
the positive. Treasure is the wild card.
It could be good or it could be bad. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start affecting us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. As everybody knows, we're big proponents of therapy on this podcast.
Love it.
We think it's something anyone can benefit from. It's not just people who've been through traumatic experiences or going through a rough patch. Even if you're doing good, maybe you can do better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/complete guide today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/complete guide.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Tim, you had a question before the break.
Yeah, my question is, this all sounds very, very, very boring. What's the angle? Why is everybody talking about it? And it's my understanding that this is just a way to sell potentially unique digital items right now, while this is a novelty to some people. It's a new thing. Before they catch on and realize that, like, some piece of art from some internet idiot, I might have the only one, but that doesn't mean anything. I don't care. I guess my qualm isn't with the NFT as a thing. It's mostly that I just feel that everything is inherently worthless.
Well, that's a bigger topic, Tim. But I mean, in a lot of ways, you're not wrong. The reason why, let me address first. Well, no.
Or all nothing right. inherently has worth, maybe.
Right. Right. So there is a distinction there where, yeah, if you're paying $100,000 for an NFT of an unknown artist, and then it's like, well, that's stupid. You have no idea if that's actually worth anything. But some of these people selling NFTs are pretty big artists.
Name six.
Beeple, Mad Dog Jones, Greg Mike, Grimes, Boss Logic.
And, other than Grimes, and, how many of those people have you heard of before you started researching NFTs?
Two of them.
Who?
Beeple and Boss Logic I had heard of before.
Beeple?
Yeah.
And you are young and hip. I misjudged you, Tom.
Well, Beeple's like the big dog right now. He has sold $21 million worth of NFTs. And I believe has the record for, he has a piece of art that sold recently for $6.6 million. That was a fairly unique piece of art because it was two pieces of art, one for if Biden won and one for if Trump won. And once the race was called, the piece of art became either of those and could not be reversed. So you were buying it before something in the real world happened that would then affect that piece of art forever. Irrevocably. Can revoke it. You got it.
I mean, so they can do the Kindle thing where they can go on and change the stuff once you've bought it?
I think this was, I'm not sure exactly how this one was done, that it could be done that way, because usually you can't, and that's kind of the, you know, the allure to it, that it's like, well, this thing cannot be destroyed or changed.
What format is this art? Is it like a JPEG?
It can be really anything. It can be a JPEG, a GIF.
If somebody accidentally posted it on a website?
Well, so that's the criticism of NFTs, that technically nothing about NFTs prevents anyone from copying them like any other file. It is not a form of DRM or anything like that, which is actually kind of one of the cool things about them. Because you can go on these websites where they're being auctioned and, you know, check out all the different pieces of art, and you're seeing, you know, the best that art's ever going to look. You're not seeing a picture of that art. You're seeing the actual art that's being sold, displayed the way it's, you know, always going to be displayed. Yeah, I guess somebody could print it out, but you could print it out if you wanted to. There's usually nothing inherently excuse me, different about what the person's buying. There can be, people can kind of like, you know, just have a thumbnail and then other people don't get the actual art until they've bought it. But that's not the way, from what I've seen, most people are doing it.
Hmm. So people are doing this with visual art and they're doing it with music.
Mm-hmm. But you can really do it with just about anything digital. You could make code a piece of NFT if you wanted to. I think for the most part, file sizes are kept relatively small, just because of, you know, how the blockchain works and limitations of it. You know, that nothing inherently means you could make something bigger, but it would cost more to put it on the blockchain because it would be more work to put that, you know, like a larger item on there.
Okay.
Did that answer your question? Oh, and your question about why now, why they're becoming a big thing now. I think one of the primary reasons is because
we've all been stuck inside for a year and everybody's losing their goddamn minds.
I mean, some people are saying that that's part of it. I think there's two reasons. I think, and they're closely tied together. One is that cryptocurrency has become a big thing, but most people are buying cryptocurrency as an investment, not as like a, well, I'm going to buy crypto and, yeah, I'm going
to buy currency to use.
Yeah,
to
I'm going to buy it, yeah, and walk around town. Because actually, so it was like a week or two ago, Tesla announced that they had bought like a $1.5 billion of Bitcoin and that they were going to start accepting Bitcoin when you buy a Tesla in lieu of actual money. And you would probably be kind of a dummy to do that because, you know, that's not really the way Bitcoin's made to work anymore.
Yeah, but doesn't that undercut the, you know, weren't cryptocurrencies meant to replace currency? Like,
yeah,
the guy that, you know, where did I read this? But like the guy that ordered a pizza,
yeah,
in 2009, using Bitcoin, being like, oh, look at this.
It was like the first time anybody had bought something with it.
Yeah, but if he kept that,
it'd be worth like billions of dollars now.
Yeah, so like that's never going to be an actual currency. So all this is just a game.
Well, a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, you could buy, you know, would you want to buy a car in like stocks? Probably not. You probably just want to cash those stocks out and pay in actual cash.
Right.
But because people are mostly buying cryptocurrencies right now to hang on to, you know, like you were saying, cryptocurrency inherently has no value, you know, and you could argue that regular cash is just paper or plastic, that it's not actually worth anything. You know, it's supposed to be backed up by gold and silver or whatever, but I don't know.
It's not.
Not anymore, but it used to be. So what I'm saying is that, like, there's cryptocurrency is the same as real currency now, where it's just we all agree this is worth something. And
Well, I don't agree.
The world decides this is worth, you know, that a dollar is worth a candy bar. And one Bitcoin is worth a Tesla.
You know what I find
has
value, Tom? You know what I agree has value?
Are you going to say the Bible or something?
A helping hand to a neighbor in need.
All right, it was close.
A smile to someone who's feeling down.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you, Tim, if you had, you know, a couple of Bitcoins, you'd be smiling all day because you'd be a rich man. So
somebody donated Bitcoin to the Complete Guide to Everything in like 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And you cash it out so quickly.
No, I actually cashed it out like a year or two later. And it, like, I don't know, it gone up a bunch. But yeah, if I hadn't done that, we probably could have both retired.
Yeah. I didn't authorize you to cash that out, by the way.
You didn't know it existed.
I mean, I did. I just mocked it. I was like, look at this loser giving us a Bitcoin.
Yeah, you just didn't
what
care.
A jerk.
The person did
but
not
I didn't
give
say
us
sell it.
Yeah, an entire Bitcoin, just to be clear.
How much did they give us?
I forget. But it was, I think they had given us like $5, but then by the time I cashed it out, it was worth like $100.
Mm-hmm. And what did you buy with that $100 that you didn't share with me?
I did share it with, Tim, I'm sick of you accusing me of cashing things out and not giving you any goddamn money from it. I cash out those points you were talking about the other week, and I sent you a Best Buy gift card. If I hadn't, not only could I have kept yours, but I could have gotten like a bigger thing because the points went down when I cut them in half. I couldn't get as, it was confusing, but I could have gotten like $20 more if I hadn't done that.
Yeah, it sucks distributing the money that we both earned equally.
Well, I'm
understand.
Just saying, what's better? Both of us getting an equal amount of money or me getting both of our money plus like another $20? Probably that in the long run.
I mean, if we're talking from your perspective, I have to agree. Yeah, that would be better. I'm sorry. I didn't think about it from your side, Tom.
Well, thank you for admitting it at least. So essentially, people are buying NFTs instead of Bitcoin now, I think, because they're like, well, I'm just going to hang on to this and hope it appreciates in value, talking about like cryptocurrency. So they're like, well, if I'm going to, you know, invest, I don't know, $5,000 into this, and, you know, and my thing with cryptocurrency, it's like never invest any amount of money that you wouldn't feel comfortable losing. You know, you're essentially gambling. I don't think Bitcoin's ever going to become worthless, or if it does, it will take a while at this point. But like NFTs could. But if you're like, you know what, I got my tax return. I got $5,000, you know, that I could either put in the slots, or I could buy some cryptocurrency, or I could like buy a piece of art.
Feed my children.
Your children are already being fed in this situation. Or you could buy a piece of art online, and then, you know, maybe one day that'll be worth a fortune. And you're also in that case supporting the artist rather than just, you know, buying crypto from a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also helping to destroy the environment, no matter what way you do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you choose to do anything, you're choosing to destroy the environment. But boy, oh boy, are you destroying the environment or this world that we live in at an alarming rate if you do anything with cryptocurrency.
Well, if you're going to buy cryptocurrency, don't use your computer that day to even it all out.
The fact that Tesla is now accepting Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
like every transaction there, like that undoes any benefit of taking.
Well, I mean, Tesla's environmental thing in general is, you know, if you're getting, you know, electricity from burning coal, it's not necessarily
yeah, but if you're
that
getting
much.
It from renewable sources.
Right. Like, well. Maybe I plug my computer into a solar panel, Tim, before I mine currency. You don't know. The electricity thing with cryptocurrency is like a little, I think it's also a little bit overblown.
Yeah, you know.
So now, you know, the corporate people, they're getting into this too.
That's when things get cool.
So the NBA,
and it happens faster and faster these days.
So the NBA is in on it now. They have, it's called NBA Top Shot. And basically you can buy like plays and stuff. So for example, somebody bought a LeBron James slam dunk for $208,000. So then they,
I paid $200 for a slam dunk.
$208,000. And, and to be clear, Tim, they didn't get to do the slam dunk. They just own a video of that slam dunk. And I should also point out that, for the most part, when you're buying NFTs, if you're buying art or you know, in this case, a slam dunk or something, you're not buying the copyright to it. The copyright, in most cases, still belongs to the author of the work. You're, you know, it's the same way if you buy a painting from an artist, you don't, you can't then go like, cool, this will be the cover of my next album and it's mine because I bought the painting of it.
Right.
No, it still belongs to the artist. Some do offer, you know, those terms of like, hey, if you buy this, it's yours. You own the copyright. But for the most part, that's not the case.
Tom, so I'm on NBATopShot.com right now.
Yes.
I'm looking at a Kevin Durant three-pointer from January 12th, 2021.
Yes.
And I see on the screen it's that he indeed sinks one from three-point land, as I say.
Right. And yeah, I guess, selling... I don't know if they sell, you know, like, man, if they sold, like, sports bloopers... I'd sink some good money into some sports bloopers.
My God, they better not start selling sports bloopers. You wouldn't believe the amount of money I'd spend on bloopers. And it'd be like, no, that's my blooper.
All of a sudden, all this clicks for you and makes sense. Are you telling me I can buy sports bloopers with this?
But for this three-pointer, it says that there are 1,158 for sale.
Yes.
So... In this case, it's not one unique, right? Mm-hmm. They made, it's a limited edition.
Right.
Sure.
So that also happens a lot. Essentially, it's the same way artists have prints where, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, I made this work of art and there are, you know, 1,000 authorized prints of this.
It looks like they made 15,000 versions of this Kevin Durant three.
Well, how much does
available?
It cost?
The lowest one is $330.
Jesus
but
Christ.
But the highest price is $250,000.
Oh, I guess maybe.
Do you want to buy this three-pointer, Tom?
No, I don't want to buy it.
We could put it on our website.
We could put it on our website now.
That's true. Yeah, we could just say. No, I mean, nobody will know.
Yeah, nobody. Look, how many people listening to this are going to be able to go in and verify it? Or we could just say, yeah, we own this three-pointer. I was looking into, Tim, by the way, extensively, and I figured it out, and we could release a podcast episode as an NFT.
Yeah, through Patreon. We do it every week.
No, Tim. We could release one as a token, a one-of-one if we wanted.
Oh, really?
And only one person would own it, and they would have bragging rights for the rest of their life.
Ooh, I hope Martin Shkreli buys it.
But it costs like a little bit of money to put things on the blockchain because you essentially have to pay for that processing fee. So it was like $40-$50 it looked like it would cost, and I doubt anybody would pay $40 or $50 for I was just gonna put this episode up.
They say you only need one true really dumb fan.
Yeah, so I kind of lost interest in it after I found out I couldn't do it for free. And it just looked, I'm honestly surprised that this is as big of a thing as it is, because it was not super clear how to like buy and sell things. And I'm fairly familiar with how this stuff works. I was going to say that I think the other reason why this is blowing up right now is that I think that There are a lot of people who got very rich very recently through cryptocurrency, and they've got money to burn, and this is the way they're burning that money, in essence, you know, where it's like instead of spending it on, you know, a dumb painting, they're spending it on a dumb JPEG.
Right.
Because that's the world they know.
Are you going to buy any NFTs in the near future, do you think?
I would consider it. I mean, I would not spend very much money at all. I don't think. I would love to, like, buy... What?
They have Garbage Pail Kid.
Well, I was going to say, NFTs. That's another corporate, sign.
William Shatner has NFTs now. You've gotten my attention.
Yeah, there's a lot of like celebrities and stuff jumping on the bandwagon. Justin Roiland has sold NFTs of his work. And I mean, his work, they're like very simple sketches he's done and sold as NFTs. This guy, DJ3 LAU or DJ3 Lau, I don't know, Tim, I haven't been to the club in a year. He made $11.6 million selling 33 NFTs of his latest, album, just different versions and whatnot.
Right.
Some artists are doing what I was talking about with like certificates of authenticity, where this Beeple guy, he sells his art, and when you buy it, you get a like physical token mailed to you that I'm guessing has like an engravement of like, you know, the item number or whatever.
Right.
And he said, like, you could sell this on its own. You could sell the painting on its own, but it would be like ripping a baseball card in half to sell two pieces. These are meant to be sold together as a way of kind of double verifying, you know, that this is authentic.
Right. Tom, I think you and I should record an album or an EP.
Mm-hmm.
And sell it as an NFT. I'm getting really good at playing some Billy Joel songs on the piano.
Uh-huh.
You lay down the vocals on top of there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've gotten very good at singing recently.
Exactly. I think we do 5 Billy Joel songs. We sell it. We auction it off.
Yeah, and Billy...
For charity, but really it goes to us.
Yeah, and I could just imagine, you know, Billy Joel gets wind of this. He's got his reading glasses on. He's sitting down at the computer at night, like, oh boy, how do I stop these boys from doing it? He can't figure it out, you know. And we get away scot-free because he can't even figure out how to get
charity,
online.
Charity, Billy Joel.
Yeah,
but it won't really be for charity.
There was also a thing recently, which was I found it real dumb, but I mean, a lot of art is real dumb. Which is fine, where a person had a Banksy original print, verified print, and burned it on camera to transfer it to an NFT token. So it was like basically trying to say, like, look, here it is, it's verified. Now it is being destroyed and it is becoming this token instead. It's like, yeah, but it's not. You just, I mean, if I, you know, set my toilet on fire and then made a sandwich, I can be like, now the toilet is this sandwich. No, they're two different things.
It's hard to set a toilet on fire.
And that's why I think you should give me a little leeway and say, wow, I don't know, if that guy could set a toilet on fire, maybe he did make
maybe
it into
it
that sandwich.
Maybe it was reincarnated as a sandwich.
Yeah. And also just like reading the language around it, it just sounded like very sketchy. Like, not sketchy, but like they were trying to make it out as more official than it was. Where they were saying like, you know, it was verified. You know how like Banksy has like a verification service, essentially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's so many fakes out there and everything. The wording kind of made it sound like they were also verifying the token, but I don't see what would be in it for them to do that. And then they also said like, they were like, will Banksy be there or whatever? And they're like, Banksy has been made aware of this. And it's like, yeah, all right. The same way I could be like, I sent Banksy an email. He's aware of this.
Yeah. You know what I think? It's 2021. Enough about Banksy already.
Well, yeah, that too. It just seemed like a way to sell that piece of art, which is already worth $100,000 for a fucking print. It seemed like a way somebody was trying to make it even more worth even more by saying, look, it's the first Banksy NFT. That's what they mm-hmm. were advertising it as. And it's like, yeah, but he's not selling it. He's not involved in the sale. And he's the kind of person that, like, if for no other reason than to get all the money himself, like, he does the things.
You know what worries me about NFTs and crypto in general?
What's that?
There's a lot of like high-minded ideas being thrown around by bros. And I don't think at any other time in history have bros embraced kind of the philosophical nature of like what, you know, inherent worth is, and like, you know, how do we all agree that currency is real? How, like, mm-hmm. everything is a construct.
Right.
And when bros start entering this conversation, it's worrisome, I think.
Well,
it can't end well.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's a weird weird thing with people that are like, look, things are only worth what we all decide. Like, you know, all of this is a construct, and this thing I have is worth $10 million. Who do I have my first bid?
I mean, but that's the smart thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
embrace the hippie philosophical point of view.
Yeah.
And then be like, and I'm going to immediately cash out. And we all agree that $10 million means $10 million.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
For now, at least.
Right. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Like, I mean, it also kind of makes sense. Just, you know, people who are the generation below us, you know, they've like not owned physical media of anything.
Yeah.
They haven't owned a physical copy of music. They haven't owned a physical copy of, you know, a video or other pieces of art, perhaps. So it kind of makes sense for them to be like, yeah, I don't know, music's never been anything tangible to me. So why wouldn't I be more interested in this than I am in, you know, I don't know, a collector's edition CD that they only made 100 of or something.
Yeah. This might make me sound like an old man, but I wish they would just unplug the fucking internet forever.
No, I don't think that made you come up as an old man, Tim. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Twitter @completeguide. Follow us on Instagram @tcgte. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter @TomReynolds.
Hey, get this. Don't follow me @YourPalTim.
Whoa. Tim, are sure you want to say that?
Tom, guess what? I bet I get more followers than I
do. Oh, man. Should have thought of that. You can check out our subreddit, reddit.com/r/TCGTE, and check out our Discord, Complete Guide, on Discord.
Tom, people are clamoring for you to go in and enable emotes in there.
Oh, okay. I'll go in. Hey, I went in and enabled emotes. How about that?
Oh, you've done it already.
By the time they're listening to this, yes.
That's some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure logic right
exactly.
there.
If you want to support the show, check out our sponsors. Also, check out patreon.com/complete guide for Books the Podcast, the only place to get Books the Podcast, our podcast about books. This week, I'm finishing up part two of A Study in Scarlet by Sherlock Holmes, the first of two books that I'm reading written by Sherlock Holmes. And you can get that and all the past episodes of different books at patreon.com/complete guide. Tim, will you be buying any NFTs? That's my question.
Maybe. I see that I can get some Garbage Pail Kids for $8.44.
Mm-hmm.
But what am I going to do? I'm always running out of space on my computer. I'm going to just gonna want
to
delete it at some point. I mean, what am I going to do? Like, look at it and admire it? Open up my computer. Like, you buy a piece of art, you can frame it, you put it on the wall at least.
You can do that with this.
You can do it without buying it.
You could go to CVS and buy a digital frame.
Yeah, I could do that. And then I could also have pictures of my grandkids.
Yeah. Tim, if I come over to your house and there's a digital frame with a Garbage Pail Kids thing on there, I'm going to demand to see the blockchain and proof that you own that, or else I'm gonna
$1.47. Yeah,
destroy it.
Believe me, you can't destroy it. I mean, the digital frame is still worth something.
Well, not if I smash it.
Yeah, well then I'm gonna insist that you reimburse me for that.
What if I claim that it's non fungible, so it's irreplaceable? That's how I would get you in a conundrum, Tim. You would either have to admit that you faked it, or you would have to admit that it could not be replaced.
So I just clicked on, yeah, that's very clever, Tom. Well done. You can break my stuff and then impunity.
You heard it here first, folks.
I just clicked to buy a Garbage Pail Kid NFT.
Yes.
For $1.47.
Mm-hmm.
And I get this whole big red box comes up and says,
get out of here, Grandpa.
Anyone can create Atomic Assets NFTs and freely choose attributes such as name and image, including fake versions of existing NFTs or stolen intellectual property. Before buying an NFT, always do your own research about the collection and double check the collection. This is going to be so flooded with bullshit.
I don't think it's going to be flooded with bullshit. There's definitely going to be forgeries and
stuff. There's going to be thousands, millions of fake Garbage Pail Kids NFTs out
well,
there.
Well, I think you're overestimating the market for Garbage Pail Kids NFTs, but I don't know. Tim, you just said before, if you bought a $5 million painting and it was fake, oh well. But now you're balking at $1.40 on a Garbage Pail Kid?
It is pretty good. His name is Ray Decay, and it looks like Cap'n Crunch, but it says Cavity Crunch.
Oh, nice.
And the decay, I think, refers to this, like, tooth decay.
Yeah, because of the sugar in the cereal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I'll buy it. I'll take a risk.
Quite a critique on society itself, I would say.
I would say so. Yeah, I'll buy it.
All right. Well, we're not going to sit here while you try and figure out how to buy Ethereum, because that's what's going
to log in to this page.
All right. We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.